continuing in the spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Thanks for bearing with me as I sound like this morning. It is that season. But good morning, siblings in Christ. Last week, we began our exploration of this theme of love divine, divine love, our first love. We started it through the call story of the prophet Jeremiah. His story of being called to be a prophet to the nation began when he was 10 to 12 years old. And as you might remember, his first response to his call was to name why he couldn't do it. Why he couldn't do the very thing God had called him to do. He named that he was not able to speak and was too young. Then the voice of the divine love that sees more in ourselves than we can see in ourselves. He heard God say, Jeremiah, do not tell me what you cannot do. God would provide the words for Jeremiah's mouth. Jeremiah was to not limit himself by his own perceptions, but to trust God to provide and to use him right as he was to be a part of the transforming work that is about to happen. The building down, the tearing down, and the building up. Jeremiah listened, Jeremiah followed and prophesied, was a vessel for God's love. Love in the world that continues to speak. Divine love and compassion, loving kindness, which we also explored last week. It is truly transformational, amen? Love divine exceeds and excels beyond our human imaginations and even more importantly, beyond our human fears. This week, we continue in this exploration of divine love with another call story. Actually, it's call stories of the first disciples as depicted in the Gospel of Luke. But first, I'll give a bit of context to what has come previously in this gospel. We remembered when we gathered a few weeks ago about the baptism of Jesus Christ, that Sunday in which we got our star words. Anybody remember that? Yes, some of us are still hanging on to them. That Jesus was baptized by John at the River Jordan. So I'm going to start us there. This should make it so the pointer works. Oh, you know what? I think I have it on the wrong one. One second. There we go. So we can see here that the Jordan River lies right in that space. That's where our story began in Jesus' ministry. And then Jesus is driven out into the wilderness. And for 40 days, he is tempted by Satan, the adversary. Having overcome this temptation when he was most desperate for the most basic of human needs, Jesus is not sent away empty, but sent away filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he begins his ministry in Galilee. He returns to his hometown of Nazareth. Right there. But in Nazareth, he does not find a warm homecoming. Instead, he finds rejection. And so he moves on, healing in the area of Judea, which is this entire region. Healing a man with an unclean spirit. The unclean spirit who, strangely enough, the people of Nazareth did not recognize who he was, but the unclean spirit did. And then he continues in this ministry of caring and preaching and teaching along the way. And he comes to the home of someone who shows up in our passage, Simon Peter. He comes to the home of Simon Peter and heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And in that same place, having heard of this really special guy doing these really remarkable things, a crowd gathers to hear and be healed in mind and body. Jesus enters into the houses of worship, the synagogues, where he preaches and teaches throughout the region of Judea into Galilee. And at the start of today's scripture, today's lectionary text, the word is out about Jesus. So we are clear that the disciples are not meeting this person out of the blue, but they've heard the rumblings of how and who he is. Oftentimes we miss that sometimes for some of us, the beginning of our relationship with Christ does not happen in a moment, instant, like it's oftentimes depicted. But it happens in the rumblings, and Jesus comes closer and closer and closer in our discipleship call. Jesus, who is love incarnate, is working miracles, and the people have heard about him. And in our digital language, we would say Jesus has gone viral. He's like that really great meme. Or that example that everyone uses. His message in his ministry is being passed on person to person, town to town. Isn't it remarkable that the greatest love of all could be passed down person to person, town to town? And even in this day, that is how it actually happens. And now Jesus is at the lake, or what we more clearly know as the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee, also known as the Lake Tiberias, is also known as the Lake Gennesaret. Here's our scripture as it begins. When Jesus was standing near the lake, Gennesaret, the crowd was pressing on him to hear the word of God. He saw two boats there on the shore. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. I want to take notice of a few things here. When is this happening? Biblical commentaries believe that this scene would have likely taken place at the first thing in the morning. See, it was common for the fishermen to fish throughout the night due to, one, the dangers of the heat through the day and the tendency of fish to come to the surface of the water because it was cooler at night. Who were these fishermen? You go back one. These men were professional fishers, of course. They derived their livelihood from their ability and their ability to care for themselves and their household, like Simon's, whose mother-in-law we had already been introduced to, and their families at work. This was the work that cared for them and their families. Note that Jesus discovers that the two fishing boats, because at the moment the fishers were cleaning their nets, the scripture says. Cleaning out of the nets is heavy labor. Has anyone ever cleaned fishing nets? Fishing nets. Well, you realize, of course, that they have to be strong enough that fish can be caught in them and not break them immediately. The material is oftentimes heavy, even though it obviously has big holes in it. However, washing and tending and caring for their nets was vital for their long-term vitality and ability to do their work as fishers. Washing the nets was a chore, You know those chores. Everybody has those chores. Those chores you do because you have to, not because you want to. Anybody have that chores? Washing the nets was a pain, both literally and figuratively sometimes. These fishermen were doing what was needed with intentionality when God found them. For indeed, they had been faithful over a little, and now love divine had met them right where they were, with a crowd of people to witness, no less. I'd like to suggest that Jesus, love divine, calls each of us to connect deeply to the very similar situations and ways in our lives. In the midst of our everyday, that very thing sometimes that you do just because you have to, what if God is tending to you, teaching you the skills that you need in order to persevere for your calling ahead? Does it change how you do those tasks? In the midst of our everyday, could it be that we are being prepared in ways that we can yet imagine for what it is God is calling for us to do and be in the world? In the midst of our calling to be faithful over a little, God is preparing us for so much more. Jesus, our passage continues, got into one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from shore. If Jesus, or even better question, when Jesus shows up on the shores of your life to get into your boat, that symbol of the way of your life, your day-to-day tools, would you have the certainty to leave the shore? Jesus asked Simon to go and get something that was unfamiliar, but to use what he already had been given. And because Simon was willing to answer the call with openness and generosity, having seen what this Jesus is up to in the world, not only he was blessed, but many, many, many people. For indeed, as John illustrated, with him being further out into the sea, he could speak more to the larger crew. The larger crowd that had been gathered could hear Jesus better. Because, it continues, Jesus sat down, was able to rest just a wee bit, and taught the crowds from the boat. The boat. The sermon for today is called The Love Boat Divine. It's a play off of this show. Who remembers the TV show The Love Boat? It ran from the 1977 to 86 and was in syndication, so I saw it. The crew, as I remembered, and even I watched a couple episodes to make sure that my remembering was on point. Well, the crew from week to week and the boat itself remained the same. But the guests on this cruise ship, they changed from episode to episode with their own unique distresses each week that was revealed and somehow magically resolved in time to get back to port. On the show, the cruise ship, the actual boat, was literally just the stage for the story to take place, amen? When we faithfully are open to what God is up to, we have, like the love boat, or like Simon's boat in Galilee, we have access to this vessel for which, trusting God's direction to help, we're able to share great good news on that platform. The challenge and the calling for us is to see that everything that we have is our boat. that every place that we find ourselves is our boat, and that they are all to be used in every opportunity for God's glory. Because love divine, the hope and the light that is Jesus Christ, is in the boat with us wherever we find ourselves. And this should be a reminder, or sometimes for us, an insertion of a great good news. It means no matter how tired you might be, no matter how your voice may be strained, no matter how you have responsibilities that to take care of, love divine is with you. When you dare to wash the nets of your life, to do your day-to-day being in the world, love divine is with you. No matter how disappointed you may be that all the work you put in is not turning out the way that you would hope it to be, love divine is with you. You have not ever, ever, ever been left. This means that your heart can be buoyant on the ocean. This means that your spirits can stay afloat even in your current situation when it's not working out the way you would want it to. Because love divine isn't just in the boat with you, but is the boat. It is everything around you, holding you in your very situation, that allows you to be a part of the bringing of good news to many people in unexpected ways. Sometimes in those very situations that don't work out the way you thought they would. In those times, blessings tend to ripple out like waves in all directions. Our passage continues, and when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long and have caught nothing. And by the way, I'll have to wash the nets again." That's my insertion, of course. But I feel like it's so human. You want me to do what? I've been trying that. But Simon, aware, remembering from a distance and up close with his mother-in-law, "Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they caught so many fish that the nets were beginning to break. So they signaled for their partners from the other boat to come and help them. For indeed, that is how God works. Amen. In the midst of goodness, we call others forth and share them the good news and allow them to be a part of what God is up to. It's a reminder of what it is to be disciples and to be a church. And they came and they filled the boat so much that they began to sink. Oops. Note, when you go from supporting the and sharing of the good news passively, oftentimes you find yourself in rather risky, uncertain situations when you're experiencing miracles up close. Amen? When we are willing to journey with Christ, so often we see and feel the distress in ways that can be painful, but we also can see and witness and testify to the power of love divine, the power of God, the power of perfect love that fills in the holes. Our Creator, Abba, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they came in love expressed, 3 in 1 and 1 in 3. In those moments, we can see that God is in action. There are miracles that are realized. There is freedom that released of captives that is allowed to be experienced in the world. There is joy, but it can also be so scary. But when Simon Peter, the fisherman, responded to the bounty of fish, he did so by bowing down to Jesus' knees and saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." We've been there. Most of us, where in light of how gracious God is being, we say, "Oh no, not me." We Jeremiah. We Simon. We us. For Simon and all who were with him were amazed that the catch had been taken. It was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were along with Simon fishing that day. Then Jesus said to Simon, "What God has said to us from the beginning, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Know that, beloveds, siblings in Christ and God, that you are not called to fear. And if you are feeling fear and anxiety, take care of yourself and rest." Amen? That may not be the season for you to work from that space of fear, because our faithfulness, guided by God's abundance, is miraculous. But our response in fear, well, we tell God to go away, like Simon does. But Jesus, in his grace, says to Simon, when he was most certain that he was unworthy, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. You will have a job, and you will be successful. You will have a purpose." When they brought their boats to shore, they left everything to follow them. And I wonder if Simon, pushing away from that fear, allowed that day, as he was walking away with Jesus, for a crowd to be fed in ways they could have never imagined. For indeed, they were sitting the whole time watching this all unfold. These guys go out and have a conversation with more fish than they could ever eat themselves. It doesn't say Simon, Peter, and John, the sons of Zebedee, stopped and had a meal, and then they left. They did all that good work, and it was someone else who had to and received the benefits and the blessings of it. Simon was terrified. He was invited to even deeper relationship and trust in that very moment, deeper faith into the unknown and the unexplainable. That can be terrifying to us. If you choose God over whatever else, you will have moments of fear. Amen? But the call, the vocation, is to still follow God. We've been discussing this conversation in the New and Renewed Discipleship class about our journey, our faith journey. My prayer, siblings, is that you hear Love Divine calling you to make available your boat, so that others may see and hear the glory of Christ, even if you don't understand it. You may indeed be called to plant seed that you won't be there to watch grow, so that you can see and experience at times as well a front seat view of what God is up to in this world, in your world, however risky, however vulnerable. And to whatever might hold you back, to say, "No, I think I'd rather stay on the shore or not go so far out into the ocean." Hear the Holy Spirit saying to you again this day, do not be afraid, because God is with you. God is your boat on the seas of life. You reside on the Love Boat Divine. May you be blessed and have a bon voyage, both now and always. Amen. Mm-hmm.